let's get stuck into our next session. Again, no accident that this session, you know, come about. So we're talking here about authority content with Dave Jennings, you know, and what was one of our big, you know, four or five things that we needed to do, you know, really was in this space. I invited Dave to come along because he's a wicked smart guy. He's very well rounded in all aspects of direct response, and I know that he invests in himself and he keeps up to date. In this, you know, authority content really is modern SEO. And if you're doing things that are 1 year old or 2 years old, you can really get yourself in trouble, you know, with the biggest search engine of all, you know, which is Google. So it's really, really important you keep up to date, you know, in this space. I'm very excited to have my good friend and colleague, Mr. Dave Jennings. Hey, buddy.
Fantastic. Okay. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this presentation. It's something that I've been thinking about for the past few months. Just thinking about how it might all line up so I can start to get the room to maybe just go a little bit quieter and listen more intently. And I put myself just under a little bit of pressure, I think, kind of self-inflicted. I did a presentation here last year, and it was really well received. I also took the videos afterwards, uploaded it to YouTube. So far, over the past 9 months, it's been watched about 56,000 times. When you calculate out the hours watched, it's about 12,000 hours worth of that one presentation watched. Not only that, at the end of the presentation last year, or at the end of the conference, I sung to the audience the song that I sung to my wife on our wedding night. So I've put myself under a little bit of pressure to try and see, okay, that's a pretty high bar to try and get over this time. Now, there will be no encore, so I'm not going to sing again, but I am, just to get a bit of an idea actually, who was there last year? Okay. So a couple up the back as well. So this presentation, it builds on a little bit of what we covered last time, and it's a little bit of a continuation. So I talked about, we run a company called Melbourne SEO and Video, and we help businesses market themselves online, and we've got a three-step process that we go through. With modern SEO, we first make sure that we get their website right, following Google's best practice. Google is getting a lot better now at telling us what it is that they're looking for through their webmaster guidelines and things like that. So step one, before you look at any sort of content creation or syndication, you have to get your website right, otherwise it just doesn't stick and you don't get any traction. So since probably the majority of the room hasn't seen that presentation, it's probably a good idea to make note, and I'll give you the link down the bottom there, to go to my YouTube channel and you can watch that video later, because it is a little bit of a continuation on that, and I'm assuming that your website is already following some of that best practice. It's just as applicable today, 12 months on, as it was on the day we delivered it as well. So that's kind of step one. Then what we're going to focus in on this presentation on are those next two steps. How do we create this high-quality content, and how do we share it around the web? And sharing is like kind of the modern-day link building. There's a little bit of a connotation around link building with a lot of the stigma that SEO had kind of attracted. SEO now, having changed a little bit, we need to change our thinking a little bit about how we're approaching creating content and then sharing it around the world. So with the limited time that we have got and thinking, okay, well, how am I going to outdo myself this time? I want to share with you probably the world's best marketing strategy. I also want to give you a case study for someone who was actually sitting in the audience exactly where you were sitting last year when I referenced authority content and worked with them. And I'll show you the actual application of the process and then some of the results that they got. And also, I'll be launching a book and this will be the first time I get to talk about it, and everybody's going to get a free copy of that book as well. So that'll be at the end of the presentation. So just to make sure that we're all on the same page and understanding where SEO is, traditional SEO, as we know it, as a lot of people know SEO when it comes to selecting keywords, trying to stuff them into pages, just building backlinks with very specific anchor text with the purpose of ranking for that particular keyword, That's dead. A lot of those strategies now will do more harm than they will do good for you. So you need to let go of some of the expectations that you've got around SEO. And I get this all the time when people call up Melbourne SEO. They'll say, oh, look, You know, we used to rank for these 10 keywords. We used to be number one. We used to get so much traffic from this. It was absolutely fantastic. And then I got hit with one of these Google updates, and now I can't be found. And I've gone through 5 SEO companies now, and you're my last hope. I need you to get me back these 5 keywords, or my business is going to go bankrupt. Now, when I get that call, it's kind of, I need to help them to understand that SEO's changed, and the expectation of you of what you had that SEO could deliver in the past, now you don't get that same result. Competition has increased significantly. Google's got infinitely smarter. The loopholes that were once there to try and game the system, they're disappearing, if not all gone. And Google's updating their algorithm quicker and quicker and quicker. So even if you find a loophole, that loophole only lasts for a very short space in time. So you don't get a chance to capitalize on it. So we just need to understand that SEO has changed. So accordingly, we need to make sure that we change our strategy as well. And holding on to this idea that, hang on, I was ranking for those 5 keywords, get me those 5 keywords back, you'll die very frustrated and die trying if that's the sole way that you sort of measure the success or failure of your SEO campaign. So it's important that you just kind of go, okay, things have changed. What else can I change? So SEO these days, I almost say it doesn't work for everybody as well. Like, it works better for some businesses than it works for other businesses. If you've got a brand new e-commerce website that's just launched and you're selling a $10 widget, and you've got a website with, you know, no history, no profile, no real content, you've just got your products up there, don't expect to start ranking for all of your keywords straight away. It's going to take time. And if you're spending, you know, working with a good SEO, the cost of SEO is going up now because it's harder to take a lot of the work that was getting previously done offshore is now brought back locally to create high-quality content. It's increased the price of getting SEO done as well. So if you're a brand new e-commerce store owner and you're spending $1,500, $2,000 a month to get someone to do your SEO and you're not going to see a positive ROI for 6 or 9 months, I mean, that's pretty hard to sustain as a brand new startup. You might be better off taking that money and reinvesting it into some of the strategies that Greg was talking about. Get some great quality content, use something like Facebook where you can get in front of that audience, get them back to your site, pixel them, and then try and remarket to them. That might actually be a bit better strategy for you. SEO now, it's a little bit of a long game. Now, it works particularly well, though, for existing businesses. So if you've got an existing business that's already got a little bit of momentum, you already know the products and services that you're selling, you've already got some content, then applying modern SEO over the top, then you can get some really great results. So to get a little bit of an idea of where people are at in the room, who already has an existing business? Good, okay, so most of this is going to apply to you perfectly. And then who's just starting out? Everybody's got to start somewhere, good. So you just need to take what we're going to talk about and you approach it in a little bit of a different way. And particularly for people starting out is you would try and apply SEO yourself. It wouldn't make commercial sense for you to go to an SEO provider and get them to do it because, you know, depending on what sort of startup capital that you've got to get the business going. So running an SEO company, seeing these changes that have happened, I had to come up with a way that we could scale SEO. Because SEO now is getting very difficult from, well, how do we do it en masse? Because the quality and the type of work that needs to be done, which has all come back locally now, it's very hard to kind of build teams to do certain tasks now because the quality needs to remain quite high. It meant that I had to try and create a system and a process for the way that we deliver SEO. Because otherwise I'm not going to be able to do it en masse for multiple clients. And that's really what I'm going to share with you, this authority content process. I think one of the best ways that I can explain authority content so you get the idea is to give you an actual case study. So just go with me back in time. We'll go back 12 months ago. This is the digital summit last time, and this is me actually delivering a presentation. And in that presentation, I talked about those 3 steps I touched on briefly at the start. So we talked about website, content, and sharing, and we talked about authority content. Now, I only touched on the idea of authority content. I didn't go into it in any great detail, but someone in the audience who attended, he ran a company, a very successful pool manufacturing company called Compass Pools. They make really great products. And he had a few of his team members here. And something I said caught his attention. And he really listened in to what I was going to say. And during the break, he came up to me and he said, I want to take you out for lunch. Can we go out for lunch and sit down? You can tell me more about this authority content process. And I said, oh, yep, look. Nobody says no to a free lunch. I definitely didn't. So we went out for a lunch and we sat down and I sat down with his team and I talked through the process, exactly what I'm about to share with you now. I talked him through exactly the way it would work and the way that it would work for his business. And when I told him, he said, I get it. This is something that I want to do. I want to apply it in my business. So he said, how long is it going to take to get up and running? And I said, oh, well, it takes at least a few months. But once you get it in place, you very quickly start to see the results. So through this authority content process, they had this is their lead salesman, David Payne, and he was involved in this authority content process. And after implementing authority content in their business, they started to, almost straight away, started to get these really interesting stories come back. David Payne went out to meet one of their clients, got to the door, and it was a prospect, and they were considering buying a pool. Now, a pool's a pretty big purchase, you'd imagine. Like, I mean, it's $50,000, $60,000 investment, so you do a little bit of research. And he went along to meet them, and when he met them, the wife greeted him at the door like she already knew him. And she's like, oh, it's great to see you again. How's things? And he thought, she's a little bit crazy. We've never actually met before. But he didn't say it out loud. He just kept it internally. He went in, and then the husband was there as well. And as the meeting sort of progressed, she kept on referencing all these things as though she'd met him before. And he got to a point where he thought, unless I say something right now, it's going to get awkward when they find out we've never actually met together, never met, and she's a little bit crazy. So he thought, oh, look, I've got to tell her now. So he said, look, I don't think we've actually ever met. And then the husband jumps in and goes, no, we've known each other for ages. You know, blah, 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 blah. And he thought, no, we haven't met before, but let's just agree to disagree. So continued on. And about 15 minutes later, the husband goes, I know how I know you. You're the guy from the videos on the Compass Pools website. We've watched about 2 hours worth of your content before you ever actually walked through the door. We feel like we know you because we've watched so much. Has anyone ever had that experience where you watch a few videos for someone, you never met them, but it feels like you know them? Anyone had that? And same with podcasts as well. Sometimes you listen to a podcast and you listen to, 5-10 episodes, and before you know it, you're, Tim Reed's best friend or, someone else, one of those podcasts that you listen to. So now think about how that changes the buying dynamic. Like when he walked in there, David Payne, they already felt like they knew him. He already was the authority. He was the mini celebrity. He was the guy from the TV ads. They didn't know that, but it felt like there was that instant bond and that instant trust. Now, what we'd done, that was just one example of numerous stories that they started to get very shortly after going through this process. The people that were in the video series were almost like turning out to be little mini celebrities. When people would come into the showroom, they'd be like, did you see that person? That person is from the video. It was like they were mini celebrities and they were star spotting these people on these videos that they'd recorded. Now, as you can imagine, this changes the whole dynamic, that whole sales process. It completely repositions things for them when you're seen as the expert and the authority. Like, it changes the game. So when they started to see the results, they thought, this is such a successful strategy. I need you to come and teach it to the rest of our distributors. So this is a pool manufacturer, and they flew myself and my family over to New Zealand. That's actually the photo out of where they were running the conference in New Zealand, in Queenstown. So, Greg, if you're looking for a new location next time, look at that. What a great view. That was kind of just in the background as a bit of a distraction. But they flew me over there, and then I shared the strategy, again, that I'm about to share with you with the rest of their distributors because they knew it was such a game changer. They had an existing business. They had a fantastic product. And if they could just tweak a few things and be seen as the authority, that's when the magic started to happen. So we want to make you the Oprah within your little industry, your little space, for multiple reasons. Not only, clearly, it's good for prospects, but it's also great for Google as well. Google is starting to default to authorities when it's determining what content to show on the web. It doesn't know who to trust because there are so many people who figured out how to game the search engines that they started to find little manipulations and loopholes. So the default choice for them was to go back to authority. And then they came up with a series of metrics that they look at to determine whether or not someone is considered an authority or not. And if you tick those boxes, not only you end up aligning your objective with your client's with Google's objective. Your objective is to help and serve your target market, give them great content, be helpful. And that's exactly what Google wants you to be. So they'll also reward you with higher rankings and better visibility online. So authority content. Some of the ideas that I'm going to talk about, you will have heard about. I mean, I've already referenced one part of authority content, which is video marketing. Like, you'll hear different pieces, and especially you would have heard it in presentations throughout the day. It's not the individual pieces that makes authority content so special. It's the way that the tactics are assembled into a larger strategy that gives you a result that is greater than the sum of its parts. So I'm going to show you the way that you piece it together, what to do first, second, and third to get a very good result. So it's a system that I've developed. I'm a little bit of a systems guy, a little bit of a nut. I love documenting everything out and getting it into a step-by-step process so I can then train my team and then we can start to roll it out more en masse. And all this is just my marketing system. Authority content, it's a way for you to batch your content creation, create a whole bunch of content in a very short space in time, because business owners are busy. The last thing that you can try and do is find, you know, a couple of hours every week to write a blog post that gets seen by five people. You need a better way to batch that content creation. Then you need a way that you can optimize it. Then you need a way that you can package it together and turn it into some sort of, you know, product or something like that, and then a way to share it around the web. And that's what I'm going to share with you. There's three steps, the three P's to authority content. This might be something that you can write down. And to get the most out of this presentation, it's probably a really good idea as I go through to think about how you'd apply it to your business. So at each of the three P's, I want you to go, when I'm applying this to my business, what would I do to try and make sure I check off this step? Now, the process itself, it can seem disarmingly simple. I don't know if you've ever come across something that looks so simple that you think, oh, you know, there's... I find that the most simple things are often the things that have the most thought behind them. Because part of the process of creating something simple is deciding what not to include. And that's just as important, if not more important, than what to include. So, and there's a lot of thought that has gone into each one of these. I've used this process over the past 10 years, developed it. We've launched multiple different businesses. Every business I launch using this process, and then we started to apply it for clients' businesses as well. I give you the framework, you tweak it, you make it your own, so you can take ownership of it, and then you apply it in your business. There are little variations, but the framework remains the same. It's solid. So we'll start with the first one, present. I think for modern SEO, you need to be creating great quality content. I've said it before, you don't have an SEO strategy unless you have a content strategy. Like, they go hand in hand now. You can't have one without the other. The problem that a lot of business owners face is that they're just creating crap content. They're creating content for the sake of it, thinking that's how I build a backlink. But if anyone actually saw it, you know, they think it's rubbish. Everybody's drowning in content. Everybody. My inbox is full. My Facebook news feed is full. My Twitter stream is full. The last thing I need is just another bit of content. Give me something helpful that answers my question right now. Then you might capture my attention. That's just step one, though. Getting attention is step one. We then need to engage, and then we also need to build trust. But if you're creating content for an English-speaking audience, and you're paying $5 to get an article written from someone whose English isn't their first language to speak to an English audience, that content most likely isn't going to engage them. You're just creating crap. And if you're using automated software to create articles, you know, you feed an article in there to spin it, make six different versions, and then post it out across the web, that's rubbish content. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing your business. I mean, if someone comes to that and they read that piece of content, it's doing you a disservice. So if that's where you're at, and this is more me trying to get everybody to let go old SEO and understand that quality is incredibly important now. We need to really start to up our game. And one of the reasons we have to up our game is if we can spot very low quality content, for Google, it's incredibly easy. Looking at user metrics, that's a dead giveaway. If someone visits a page and then they stay on it for 2 seconds and then they hit the back button to go back to the search, what sort of signal does that send to Google, do you think? Not a very good one. So they're not going to want to rank that content. And user metrics, from an SEO perspective, that's the area you need to focus on. And I'll give you some metrics later that you can focus on from a user metrics perspective and how to really focus on that. I don't know if you've ever heard that thing. If you can take a donkey, you can dress a donkey up, you can put some lipstick on it, you can put some makeup on it, you can even put a bow tie on a donkey. But at the end of the day, a donkey is still a donkey. And crap content is still crap content. So we just need to make sure that we start to up our game with regards to that. And authority content is the mesh between good quality content and SEO. It's where it overlaps. Most SEOs have it wrong because they're creating content for content's sake and it's sending very bad user metrics. They're just doing it to generate a backlink. And a lot of content marketers have it wrong because they're just creating content but the content never gets seen. What good is a piece of content if no one's going to see it? So you don't want to just generate it solely for the purpose of the search engines. You need to find that right balance between the quantity versus quality. That's really where the game comes. I'm not suggesting that you need to be putting out $1,000 bits of content, every piece of content that you put out there. I'm not suggesting that, but we need to find the right balance to make sure we're still putting out good stuff, but we're doing it in a much larger fashion, larger scale. So how does that start? And Greg touched on it in the last presentation. I mean, this is Marketing 101. When creating content, what do you first do? You go into the mind of your prospect. What is it that they're thinking about? What questions are they asking? You need to, you put yourself in their shoes. And you try and list out, this is kind of part of this first step of presentation, is listing out all of the questions that they're asking. And you want to make sure that you can start answering those types of questions. Because what do people do when they go to Google? Usually they've got a question or a problem that they want to have solved. So they go to Google to try and find the solution for that. So if you can be the solution giver, you're giving Google what they want, you get right in front of that audience, you build the trust, and then hopefully we get them into our funnel and then we can start to make a sale with them. So what is the best way to do this? How do you batch your content creation? Video. It's the quickest, easiest, and cheapest way, most effective way that I know for creating mass amounts of content. Video is kind of like that holy grail. And I've been talking about it for a couple of years now, and it's still the low-hanging fruit because a lot of people don't take that step and they don't feel comfortable getting in front of the camera, which is good. Your competition doesn't like doing it, and that creates a little bit of an opportunity. But from an SEO perspective, from a ranking perspective, from a content creation perspective, like it's where the game is. There's creating video content, and I referenced a stat last year, this idea that 3/4 of all consumer traffic in 2018 will be in the consumption of video content. That was the stat that they predicted. And we're on track for that. And then you see something like Apple come out with the new Apple TV, and that's only going to accelerate that content consumption. So you want to make sure that you're in front of that curve. If you've ever heard that idea, all boats float on a rising tide. The rising tide is this video content. Just by the virtue of being there, you'll get lifted up and rise with it. Even if you've got, you know, average content, we're going to create great content, but just by the nature of that rise, you'll get some benefit. So if you're not using video content yet, I actually think you're being a little bit irresponsible as a business owner and a little bit irresponsible with your marketing, because it's the low-hanging fruit. It's the easy stuff, and you'll find out why. We can repurpose it and reuse it, and it flows into every type of marketing that you'll hear people talk about. The video can form kind of like the central piece of that. So it really is a must. If you're not doing video content yet, you need to do it. The way to do video content, does that mean you need to jump in a studio, you know, book out half a day and try and crank out some videos? I don't know if anybody's ever tried doing that. Have they tried doing that? Just with one person in the room? It's very hard to do. I came up with this idea of running little workshops, and it works incredibly well because it's a positive constraint. If you know there is a room full of people going to be there or a group of people, one, you have to get it done. Everybody needs a deadline and you have to get the content creation done. Two, you'll only do a single take. If you try and do it in a studio like that, what'll end up happening is you'll do one video and then you're like, oh, I could have said that better. Can we just re-record that again? And before you know it, you're halfway into a day or a full day and you've created two videos. Whereas if you do it in a little workshop setting, you'll just go through it. Then you can take that content, if architected correctly, you can chop it up into little pieces and you might get 30 or 40 bits of content from that one day's session. So we just need to change the way that we're thinking about workshops, and I'll just kind of put a little bit of a definition around that. Here's what we did for Compass Pools. Hopefully this is going to work for me.
Often people will walk into Compass or they'll give us a call on the phone and they'll say, how much for a swimming pool? Such a great question, and it's a difficult one to immediately answer because there are just so many different options and inclusions and site differences and things that are particular or may be particular about that pool that will change the overall cost. It's not dissimilar from someone walking into a car yard where there's a whole range of cars on offer and saying, well, how much for a car? No one really does that because we're all been educated enough to know what a car is and that there's lots of different inclusions you can have with it. The pool industry is not similar, except you probably just don't have as much information. You certainly will when you come and talk to us. But if I was the salesman of a car and I said to you, would you like power steering and air conditioning with that car? You'd probably look at me today and think, gee, this guy's crazy, of course I want that. Well, there are very similar inclusions to power steering and air conditioning that you can put in your pool that are just as important as the way you see that in a motor car. They're the things that we really want to drill down on and we'd like to talk to you about, or at least make available to you, so when you make a decision on this, you're making a well-informed decision for the long term.
Could you imagine being on Google, running some searches, and thinking, how much does a swimming pool cost? You type that in, that video comes up. It's great quality content. It feels like it was helpful, moved me closer, further down that buying cycle. It's got the right balance between that quantity versus quality. I mean, there wasn't anything too fancy there. I mean, we're not talking about a couple of $1,000 video there. Just in one session, just here, you can see these are some of the types of videos we created. In that one day, we recorded about 40 different videos covering everything from how much does a pool cost to what is the pool construction option, what's the difference between concrete and fiberglass, what are different shapes, colours, all those sorts of things. The commonly asked questions when you're researching a swimming pool. So you just, again, you have to think about it back to your business and think about what are those questions that people are creating or asking, and then you want to think about batching your content creation. Just creating onesies and twosies when it comes to content creation, you're not going to get any traction from an SEO perspective. Like, it's great if you're doing paid media, but if you're doing a handful, you now there's a little bit of a volume game. So it's the combination of that quantity versus quality. So that's, again, why it doesn't always make sense for the brand new startup, because there is a little bit of a capital investment there. But it's that long-term gain. Like, we're creating a digital asset here that will last and will continue to pay for many years to come. So now we kind of move into that second stage, which is the product phase. And you can go either one of two ways. I mean, it's a little bit of a choose your own adventure here. You can either sell it if you want, sell the content, or you can give it a little bit of give it away. And that's the other way that you can head. And it depends on the business. I've got a soft spot for digital product. I love digital product. And the main reason is, once it's created, like, it takes a little bit of effort to get it up and running, but once you create a digital product, all of the money that you make for selling that digital product later is pretty much profit. Like, there's no incremental, hardly additional cost to deliver a digital product. So I love it, and I add it into all of my businesses. It works particularly well for service-based business because I can say, hey, here's the process for how we deliver our great service. And then when someone approaches us, if they can't afford our services, I can use it as a downsell. Well, if you can't afford for us to do it, then, you know, how about you get the do-it-yourself version, which is the home study course digital. So it's a great downsell. It can also be a great upsell, an addition, added value, I just love digital product, but it doesn't always make sense, and it didn't make 100% sense for Compass Pools. I can't imagine selling a $37 ebook on how to build a swimming pool. Like, I'm not creating a bit of content that would attract the right target market with that. I'm looking for a different audience. So what we did is we turned it for them into like a resource guide, an open resource guide on their website. Underneath, they've got the little help and advice section there, and you can see this is kind of like the page that houses all of this content and the different questions. You can see it's the master page, and you can see there, I've just underlined for you so you can see the different questions, everything from what you saw previously, I'm building a new home, what should come first, the pool or the house, like all these types of questions, and we collated it together in an easy way for someone to consume that information, that helpful content. Now, that's the master page. I want to drill in deep so you can see what the next level looks like. So having a look at how long is each step in the pool construction process, this is what the individual landing pages look like. So you'll see very helpful content. Now, for those of you who know SEO, your little brain's going off going ding, 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 we've got some fantastic content here that's highly optimizable, individual pages, tailored for a very specific question, and I can target some really smart keywords with this. But more than that, I'm creating content that grabs attention, it engages the visitor, and it helps to build trust. So that ultimately ends up helping with conversion as well. There's a lot of benefit for doing this, and from an e-commerce perspective, and Greg talked about this earlier today, was where a lot of e-commerce store owners go wrong when it comes to applying SEO. It's very difficult to go through a backlink building campaign if you're trying to build backlinks to specific product pages. Like, how many people want to link to, you know, your little green widget? Like, it's very hard from an SEO perspective to try and build backlinks for that. But from an e-commerce perspective, if we built out something like this, I'm working with a client. It's taken a little bit longer than I would have liked. I'm working with a client at the moment. They're a horse supplies company, and they're an e-commerce company, and we're creating an A to Z of horse healthcare. So it'll be a resource guide like this on their site, where we're teaching people how to look after their horse. Obviously, as they're teaching people how to look after their horse, they're using their products. So it's a great way for them to, you know, product placement there, show people actually using it. And now it becomes a fantastic way that we can actually do some proper link building. Because people in the community will find that helpful, and they'll want to link to the definitive guide on horse healthcare. So that's the type of thinking. Again, you can go one of two ways. You can create the digital product, or you can potentially make it an open resource guide, or over time, sometimes what I do, I've come from the stock market education background, niece. One of the very first products I created, I sold, and then about 3 or 4 years later, then I turned it into an open resource guide. So I can also say, hey, previously this course sold for XYZ. But what you're effectively doing is you're building digital assets. And like any assets, where the real value comes is when they grow over time, and they compound on each other, that's when you start to see the very good return. The good thing about the content we're creating, and Compass Pools is a good example of that, how long is that content going to be useful? Like, I mean, we're creating those videos will be ready and useful for the next 5 years. Like, it's not going to date, should I go for a fiberglass pool or a concrete pool? So again, they're just reinvesting back in and something that continues to pay dividends for a long time. So just to get a little bit of an idea, and again, linking it back to your business, just so I know audience-wise, which one sort of resonates with you most? Are you thinking create a digital product, or are you thinking maybe create an open resource guide? So digital product. Come on, I love them. I told you I love them. A couple more, okay. And then I'm assuming everybody else. Everybody, I am counting. Yep. You might consider doing an open resource guide. There's a lot of benefits for the open resource guide. And it looks like someone up there actually lifted both hands. So we can do both. Now we're kind of moving into the final stage, which is the promote stage. So now we've talked about batching content creation. We've turned that into some sort of product, or we've packaged it together, thinking about how we deliver it. Now the final stage is the promote stage. Now, this is the bit you've all been waiting for from an SEO perspective. How's he building backlinks? What's the secret sauce? What anchor text is he using? Is he using blog networks? All those sorts of things. It is the sexy part of SEO. This is where people like to tune in. Again, I just want to make sure that you understand what makes this so magical is the way that it all fits together. Like when we get to the sharing part, if you've got very low quality content and you don't have much of it, you're not going to get any traction in this space. So it kind of all fits together. So I think it's important for people when they understand about how I'm building backlinks, it's also important to understand how I am not building backlinks. It's if you're building backlinks through blog networks, comment spamming, doing low-quality, junky press releases, you're not going to get any traction with that. It doesn't work the way it used to. Even if you get a little win now, all you're doing is you're setting yourself up for failure. It's going to be a ticking time bomb. You're one algorithm update away from getting your website taken out of the index. So if you're building links in any of those sorts of ways, you're better off just, you know, letting those tactics die. Does anyone know who this guy is? Jim Rohn, I think I heard it, yes? Jim Rohn is a motivational guy. He kind of had one of those big impacts on me early in my career. And he had made a comment that was, you are rewarded for the value that you bring to the marketplace. So if you're rewarded by the value that you bring to the marketplace, how much reward do you think you would get by coming up with this little, you know, comment spamming technique to try and build your backlinks? You're not going to be rewarded very well. So again, it just comes back to this idea now. You need to really be adding value, and that's how you'll get paid. Fortunately, by going through this process, you're now sitting on a mountain of content. Woohoo! You've already done all that hard work, and now you've got some rich media that we can repurpose. You heard, I think Troy talked about it yesterday, actually. Troy's really good at this sort of stuff, taking content, chopping it up into pieces, and then re-syndicating it around the web. That's why I love video, is because just by shooting video now, we're sitting on three different types of media. We've got the video, we've got the audio, and we've got the transcript. So we've just multiplied our work, our output, by three, by one activity. So it makes very good sense to create this type of content, batch the content that I'm talking about, so 30 or 40 videos, and now I've just multiplied it by three. So now we're talking about a bit more significant impact that we can have because we're getting a bit of a larger volume. Now, don't overcomplicate things when it comes to sharing. Step one, it's a really easy process to follow. You take the video, you chop them up into little pieces, you optimize them going after different keywords. Classic SEO rules and everything still apply. You upload them to YouTube, then you take the videos, you pair them together with the transcripts, you post it on your blog, so now you've got a new place to put it. You can also, at that point, email out your list as well. I mean, nothing attracts a crowd like a crowd. So before I even consider socially sharing it, if I send it out to my list and get someone to comment on it, engage in it, by the time I send it out on social media, people say, oh, stuff's already happening here. Now they'll be more likely to engage. No one likes to be the first person to comment. So if you can seed it and get it going, that's why I always like to start with the email first and then send it out socially. Now, which platform do you play on for social? It depends on your industry. Just think about who your target market is. Think about where it is that they're actually playing, where are they hanging out, and the aim of the game is to create great quality content that answers their questions and place it in front of them where they're hanging out. So Pinterest may or may not make sense for you. Snapchat may or may not make sense for you. LinkedIn may or may not. It just comes down to thinking about where your target market is. So this is, again, coming back to Compass Pool's example. You can see there, that's their YouTube channel. We've uploaded a whole bunch of videos optimizing for different keywords, and that's kind of like step one. And then this guy, has anyone heard of Gary Vaynerchuk? Yeah. If you're not having a look at him, he's got some really great stuff around storytelling, around social media, creating great content. He talks about this idea in his book, Jab, 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 Right Hook, that you, when you create content and you start to share it, you tailor it to the platform that you're sharing it on. So don't just take the same bit of content exactly as is and then post it on every single social media platform that you can, because different social media platforms have, you know, their own unique way of doing things. Twitter, you know, it's a little bit like a cocktail party and people want, you know, those interesting little short facts that they can hit retweet on and say, you know, yeah, awesome, that type of stuff. Facebook, a little bit different. You go there to get distracted and see what your friends had for lunch, that sort of thing. And then somewhere like LinkedIn, you might go to LinkedIn for, written articles and content works incredibly well on LinkedIn. So you just think about what the medium is, where you're playing, and then you tailor authority content to match the platform that you're playing on. Like, that's a much better way to get the attraction and, bring clients into you. So every bit of content that you're putting out, and this is, again, where content marketers go wrong, is they have little regard for SEO. When you're sharing content, everything should be SEO'd, no matter what platform you're on. If you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, you remember to use hashtags. If you're on YouTube, you use tags. Like, you have to look at every single platform. The basic fundamentals of SEO are still the same as far as on-page optimization. You do a good bit of keyword research. The best way to do keyword research I know these days is head to Google, type something into the search engine, see what comes up on predictive text. If nothing comes up there that you like, hit search, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and then see the related searches down the bottom. That's Google telling you what people are actually searching for. It's a great way to discover which keywords you should be optimizing for. So you take those, every piece of content should be optimized for one keyword phrase, and then that, regardless of where you're sending it out, you need to learn about optimization. You put it once in the title, you put it once in the description, you put it a couple of times in a tag or a hashtag. You don't stuff it in. We don't want it to say blue widgets, blue widgets, blue widgets, and then in the description, are you looking for blue widgets? You've just found the best range of blue widgets. Click here to see our full range of blue widgets. Oh my God, our blue widgets are awesome. Well, that's a pretty average description. It's like keyword stuffing there. We just want to make sure you write it naturally, but still be quite conscious of the keyword that you're optimizing for. So again, come back to compass pools. Always like to use an example to explain a point. And there's the reference of on the left-hand side there. That's the compass pools website. We're optimizing for that bit on the content piece on the left is pool construction process. That's the keyword we're going after. It's actually in the URL. It's in the title of the post. It's actually in the body content. On YouTube, on the right-hand side, we're going for, I think it's swimming pool cost, I think is the keyword. We put it in the title there. We put it in the description. And we also put it in the tags as well. Just some basic optimization stuff. You can see that I've underlined it, so you can see specifically how I'm putting it in there. Now, for SEO, and this is why a lot of businesses have trouble with SEO now, to do this properly, you need to be consistent. You need to make sure that you're consistently putting out this content. And if you put out great quality content, SEO will start to happen naturally. And you can. The good thing about what I've just taught you there is after the content creation component, right back at the start there, everything else can actually be turned into a system and a process. The unique ability that you bring to the table is that content creation. And I say the further that the content creation gets from the business owner, the lower the quality, and it usually loses the message or the voice of the business. So we always try and keep the content creation as close as possible. Once that's created and that's the seed, now we can chop it up, and it's very easy to then get other offshore teams or other people to help build it out. If you're the business owner and you don't have time, you can get someone to transcribe it, take it to a ghostwriter, give them the transcription. Much easier for them to work from and still maintain that high quality content. So you've got to be consistent. And then we've already talked about the volumes. When you start to multiply it out, this is where it starts to get a little bit fun. So on one day's worth of content, we upload 30 videos to YouTube. Then that becomes 30 blog posts. Then we can upload it to SoundCloud or iTunes or something like that. We've got another 30 different pieces of content. Then we might upload the transcripts to a PDF sharing site. Then we do some social sharing. We don't share everything. We just pick the best bits that are working really well, and we share those pieces. Then we might email out our list. We don't email them on every single piece of content. Then we might get smart and start to amplify that content. We might do press releases and infographics and guest posts on the top performing content. You watch what's working and then you multiply it. So when you kind of add all of that stuff together, kind of equals 182 bits of content, and that was really without me even breaking a sweat. And all really I had to do was the input of that one day to create the content. And now, because I'm a bit of a systems nut, we've systemized the whole process. We use a platform called System Hub, and that houses all of our business's standard operating procedures and organizes the way that we do business. It's the heart of our business, because I've taken everything in our business, and particularly because we work with virtual teams, you have to be documenting these processes. So we've taken that, We've systemized it, and now I can work with clients where I'll send in a video film crew. They'll fly up, that's done locally, we film them for a day, and then we pass it to my team who does the back-end SEO side of it. This is modern SEO. To talk about some of the results, this was the video that I did last year. So this is my presentation here, and you can see I've pulled out some of the stats from the back end. We've had 56,000 views. That was from last week. Close to 729,000 minutes watched of this one video. Now, if you think about that, like, that's amazing. If 56,000 people have watched that, before I even chat with them, I've positioned myself as the expert, the authority, as trustworthy. I've demonstrated, I know my stuff. They're an hour into content, and they stick all the way through. When someone does finally decide to pick up the phone and call us and say, "Okay, Dave, I want you and your team to do it," that selling process is done. They're not calling me up for me to prove myself. They're calling up to say, "When can we start?" So it's again very different dynamic . I monitor what pieces of content are doing well, and when I spot it, then I try and amplify that content. I figured out this was doing quite well along the way, so we quickly put a name capture and started tagging how many people were opting in. Now, so far, we're at about 770 people who've opted in based on watching this video and then gone over to download something. Now, I know that's not a huge number, especially since we had 56,000 people watch it, but I only mention it at the end of the video, which means they have to have watched the entire hour presentation before they took that action. And now they've taken that action, they are as highly qualified as you get. They're incredible prospects. And this, I'll give you one final sort of little expert pro tip around then what, this is what effectively what an SEO company does. You do what's called amplification. So on top of that, we then monitor which bits of content. You might put out 10 bits of content, and one bit of content, for some reason out of that 10, gets 5 times as many views. You don't know why. Maybe you picked the right keyword. Maybe the message was right and it resonated. But whenever you spot those outliers, they're the ones that you want to magnify. And you might do it through press releases. You might do it through creating infographics. You might do it through creating guest posts. Don't just create a piece of authority content and then put it out there and go for some paid media to try and get it some visibility. Let the market prove to you what they like first, identify that, and now you've found your little sweet spot hot pocket where you go, "Oh, wow, how much does a pool cost? That, for some reason, seems to be getting 5 times as many views. How do we create as much collateral around that as possible to magnify it even further?" Again, that's what a good SEO company does. That's what we did for Compass Pools. And you can see there, that's a press release. Press release, you have to be careful. There's a lot of junky press release services. Through PR Newswire, that's still a good way to build backlinks. And that, when you wrap it all together, that's modern SEO. That's how you get a great result for clients. And you'll notice I didn't talk about number one rankings. I didn't talk about private blog networks. I didn't talk about how many backlinks or what, you know, number of rankings or specific anchor text used. I mean, I didn't talk about any of that sort of rubbish. You don't need to worry about that now. You create high-quality content that gets attention, that engages an audience, and that also builds trust. And when you do that, you align your objectives with Google's objectives. You're giving great quality content, which will get you better visibility, but you also end up serving your clients and your visitors and those things. Now, for the propeller heads in the room who really want to know some metrics, you know, give me some numbers that I can sink my teeth into. If you want to focus in on some specific numbers, then from an SEO perspective these days, these are the main numbers that I look at, user metrics. And whether or not it's because Google is looking at these numbers and maybe there's some sort of direct relationship, or if there's some sort of correlation whereby focusing on these numbers, then I get a better result. I don't know exactly what it is, but by focusing in on user metrics, again, it's focusing your attention back in what Google's actually looking for. So we look at load times less than 4 seconds. We want to make sure that our bounce rate is lower than 55%. We make sure that our time on site is greater than 2 minutes. And the number of pages viewed is more than 2. Now, these are just guides. You know, there is exceptions to every rule. What happens if I've got a big, long sales letter and there's no other pages for them to actually visit? What happens if they've got a high bounce rate because they hit the buy it now button? I mean, there's exceptions to everything. These are just guides. And if you use this as a way to kind of navigate your way through, you'll be on the right track. And I know for e-commerce sites as well, I mean, 4 seconds for a Magento site is actually pretty good. So again, just kind of use it for a little bit of a guide. That kind of wraps up these three stages of present, product, and promote. Now, at this point, I know there's a certain percentage of you in the room who won't do this. I know this is a fantastic strategy. I know it works. But everybody, look, if you're looking for an excuse, you'll find one, okay? There's plenty of reasons why not to do stuff. You might think it costs too much or it'll take too long. I'm hoping we kind of help to at least reduce those. I showed you how to batch that content creation. But the other one that always sticks out for people is, yeah, but I don't have the skills. Put me in front of a camera. I'm going to freeze up. You know, I'm not a natural like you, Dave. It takes time to work it. And I want to kind of squish that myth. And I want to show you perhaps the world's worst video, the world's very worst bit of authority content. Now, I don't do this to embarrass myself, although that's exactly what's about to happen. I do it, hopefully, to encourage you to know that anybody can be creating this type of content. This is my very first attempt. I will not play very long of it. It won't go past this room, okay? So we're only going to see it just for a little bit. That's my dresser in the corner there. That's my bedroom. Enough of that. That video now, thank you. I don't know if you should be clapping. That video now has been watched over 15,000 times. And it was in a previous industry that I used to be heavily involved in. But the takeaway here is if you're looking for excuses, you'll find them. Similarly, if you're looking for reasons to do things, you'll also find those too. So just make sure you start looking for the right things. The reason that this works, that you should be doing it, is one, I know it works. We've applied it many years to lots of different businesses. I've had the good fortune to partner with some good friends, some of the speakers, Troy Dean, Mike Rhodes, the guy on the left here, Andrew Griffiths. We've gone through this authority content process with them, and it works incredibly well, so much so that that's why I systemized it, and it's now an offering that we offer through to our clients as well. So I'll give you one final gold nugget, and I've still got a little bit of time left, so you can indulge me. And I've got a story. If I go a few minutes over, is that okay? I've got the okay from the audience now, Greg. I do like a good story, so I'll finish with the story. But before that, I want to give you another gold nugget. I like to drop some gold nuggets. Here's a good one. Has anybody heard this idea of becoming an authority before? Obviously, we have. What is one of the best ways to be known as an authority in a space? Like, what's when you think of they are the authority, what have they done? Was that good? Close. What is another way? A book. There you go. A book, similar, is kind of like that definitive, yeah, I'm an authority, I've written the book on blah, blah, blah topic. So that, it's one of those sort of, if you can give that to a prospect or a lead, the positioning is absolutely fantastic. But most business owners, where are you going to find a spare, you know, few weeks to write 30 or 50,000 words? Like, I mean, we're busy enough as it is, but yet it's incredibly powerful. There's an organization called KPI, Key Person of Influence. Has anyone heard of them? Yep. What they do is they help people write books because the positioning is so fantastic. And I've got a few friends and colleagues. There's some of their boats and a few of their books in some obscure niches. And the one on the left there, that's Compass Pools. They turned a lot of the authority content we talked about into a magazine that they can then send out to their clients and prospects. Now, authority content makes the process of writing a book infinitely easier because now you've got the transcripts, you've already done all the thinking, you've got the transcripts done, what do? You give that to a ghostwriter and then he writes a book for you. I mean, you're halfway there. That's exactly what I did with authority content. We ran a workshop, a one-day workshop, teaching this methodology. I got it transcribed. I then gave it to a ghostwriter, and then he turned it into a book or a manuscript. We're almost there. So this is kind of like that step process. This is almost like going complete full circle now, where I'm holding in my hand probably the world's best marketing strategy. And I'm going to give you all a free copy of the transcript of the manuscript there. All you've got to do is head to authoritycontent.com and you just fill it out and I'll post it out to you. Like, I mean, it's still manuscript form. It's not even download. I will pay for the postage and I will send it to you so you can get a physical copy. And then also on the page there as well, I'll show you how you can register once that does get converted into a free book. I can also show you how to, I'll send you out a free copy of the book as well. So you can just fill out those details. Now, I've kind of whipped through that strategy pretty quickly and I like to finish with a little bit of a story. Everybody's got that down. It's pretty easy to remember. authoritycontent.com/free book. I'll finish on a final story, which kind of perfect to get your attention. I think this final one, I've given you all the strategy, the framework, very well thought out, works every single time. I've customized it and to the nth degree. But there's a certain percentage of you, like I said, that won't actually apply this, even though you've been given the systems. And this is something that my dad taught me many numbers of years ago. And I want you to have a look at the date there. It's going back to 88. I was born in 81, so I was 7 at the time. And you can see this is my sheet because it's got the little X in the corner. My brother Chris is the other name over there on the left-hand side. And what my dad did was, in his infinite wisdom, he determined which things and which steps in life make for a great life. You know, he believed if you would do your bed, take out the rubbish, wash the dishes, go to bed by a certain point in time, that would equal, the result of taking those actions would equal having a great life. So he thought, I'm going to gamify this. And he created a thing called the sheet. And the sheet was a way to earn points for taking certain activities that he deemed important. So when I have a look through it now, it's really interesting to look because it kind of shows me his value system, like what he found more valuable. Clearly, going to bed at a reasonable time was not something, because I can go to bed on a Saturday night at 10:15 and I'm still going to earn 2 points as a 7-year-old. So he's clearly he didn't value going necessarily to bed at an early time. But the good thing about the way that he calculated this was at the end of the week, he would then tally up all of the points that you earned, and then that would equal your pocket money. Now, not only that, if you successively got over 300 points 5 weeks in a row, you'd get an additional $10. So there was an incentive to make sure that you continually followed that process every single time. Now, I loved this. I didn't know it at the time, but I loved systems. I must have popped out loving systems because I saw this and I thought, I can game this. I know the way that this works. I can play this game. And then consistently, I got paid the top amount of pocket money every single week, and I would qualify for my bonuses as well. I loved it. Dad got to a point where he basically said, look, I'm going to have to change the pointing system because you keep on getting the maximum amount of money. Now, that was me. But my brother, on the other hand, he loathed the sheet. He detested the sheet. He wanted no part of the sheet. He was not going to play this game. He was not going to be bribed. And he was not going to partake. So needless to say, every week he didn't get any pocket money. Even though we both got given the same set of rules, the same framework, the same system, we played the game in a very different way. And it taught me that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. They've got to actually want to step through and take that next step. So I can show you the process that we use. I can let you know how effective it is. I've proven it hundreds of times. I've made it easy. I'm going to give you a free copy of the book, but I know the vast majority of you won't do anything with it. And that's okay. I'm talking to just a handful of people who will. And they're the people that this message will probably, ooh, I got a bit choked up there, will resonate with most. And they're the people that I really want to talk to. So if that felt like it resonated with you and you think you're a little bit of an action taker and an implementer, go ahead, register for the book, and I'm collecting some testimonials and case studies I want to put at the back of the book. So if you want to get included in the book, that's another little incentive as well to take some quick action. So anyway, I'll wrap it up there. I think I'm a minute and 20 over, and I will be floating around if you've got any questions. Thank you.